Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
I'm excited to encourage you ladies today. I think something powerful happens when the daughters of the King get together. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I want to jump straight into the word if I can. And I never travel by myself. I'm honored to have my sisters with me. Both of my baby sisters are here, Ashley Madu and Amanda Madu. Would you stand up? Come on, let them see you. It's my baby sisters. Come on, you know revival is happening when your sisters will come hear you preach. So we're going to have fun in here today. I want to go to the Gospel of John if we can. John chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 4 through 14. John chapter 4, 4 through 14. And I don't want to assume anything. How many of you have never heard me preach before? Can I see your hand if you've never heard me preach? Oh, wow. That's quite a few of you. Okay. Quick disclaimer. I am a holla back preacher. Okay. All that means is over the next 6.5 hours that we have together, I'm playing. It's illegal for you to just kind of sit there and look at me and go, it'll make me nervous, okay? If anything I say is resonating with you, you can say amen. You can say preach that. You can say, that was good. Ladies, you can literally stand up in the middle and go, whoo, that was for me. You can also stand up in the middle and go, ooh, girl, that was for you. For real, you need that. Any one of those will work. Just don't get quiet on me today. John chapter 4. And we'll start at verse number 4 and land at verse 14. When you're ready to read it, say, yeah. If you need some time to find it, say, hold up. Ooh, there was a lot of hold ups. I'll wait. The Gospel of John. Amen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. If you were in Ephesians, you went too far. If you in Genesis, you ain't been to church in a long time. But there's no condemnation. You good. Take your time and find the Gospel of John. Look at what it says. It says, now he, that he is Jesus, had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey. Ooh, it's already good. It's already good. I don't know about you ladies, but it blesses me to know that Jesus got tired. I'm telling you, that blessed me. Jesus got tired. That's important to know because you understand that Jesus was not just a good man. He was a God man. He was God in flesh. So that means he is God enough to speak the stones into existence that created the well he was sitting on. But he's also man enough to say, hey, it's no cars. These Birkenstocks are killing my feet. I'm tired. I'm going to sit down for a little bit. You may think that's just trivial, but I think it's important to know that we serve a Savior that can feel what you feel. He knows what you're going through. Your kids might not understand you. Your husband might not understand you. But how many are thankful for a Savior who came from heaven to earth, put on human skin, and he can feel what you feel? It just blessed me that he got tired and he sat down by the well. And it was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, crazy woman. At least that's what I see in the text. He's like, girl, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Somebody say living water. Ooh, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from himself as it also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Can you say amen? Come on, ladies, that is good all by itself. I want to preach today, just using this as a subject, transformation through a conversation. Transformation through a conversation. Can we pray before we go on to this? It's going to be a long prayer, but just bear with me. Would you bow your heads? God, you are awesome. speak today. Amen. Transformation. I'm trying to get you to lunch. Transformation through a conversation. Are there any married ladies in the house? Any married ladies? Come on. All the married ladies, make some noise. Okay. Married ladies, do you remember the day, the moment, perhaps the hour that your husband garnered up the nerve, the courage, the unmitigated gall, the audacity to ask you to spend the rest of your life with him? Do you remember that moment? I remember mine quite vividly. I remember it. I took my wife, Taylor, then girlfriend, to an ice sculpture exhibit. Took her to an ice sculpture exhibit. And what she didn't know is that I had had them carve out an ice, "Will you marry me?" at the end of the exhibit. So as we're walking through, and I'm nervous. It was cold in there. I was still sweating. We're perusing through the ice sculpture exhibit, and we got to the place where it was carved out, "Will you marry me?" And when we got there, I did what every man does when he's talking to a woman he's in love with. I dropped my voice real low, and I said, "Baby, turn around." She said, "What?" I said, "Baby, turn around." She turned around, and she saw carved out in ice, "Will you marry me?" And then when she turned back around, I was down on one knee with some more ice. Come on, somebody. And I asked her to marry me. Now, I have to confess that when I got down on one knee, I got a revelation. I got a revelation, several revelations that I've gotten since I got down on one knee. She said yes, but I began to get several revelations after that moment. The first revelation that I quickly got, is that weddings are expensive. Oh, weddings are expensive. Like, nobody warned this chocolate brother that weddings are astronomically expensive, like ridiculously expensive. Ooh, we had one caterer that did not get a call back, who had the nerve to tell us that it was going to be $6,000 for punch. $6,000 for punch. Six G's for punch. I never thought the price of punch would make me want to punch somebody. And the weddings are crazy. So we're all the single ladies in the house. Single ladies, make some noise. So you thought I left you out earlier. Single ladies, you're waiting on the one? How many are waiting on the one? Okay, let me help you. Let me help you. Stop waiting on the one, okay? Start saving for the one. Because when you find him, y'all gonna need some money. Weddings, crazy expensive. Another revelation that I got, and really want to shape the course of our talk today, is I quickly begin to find out, and I find out every day, that men and women are different. Oh, I need a good amen right there. Men, and we are completely different, not just in our physicality, not just in our pulchritude or the positioning of protoplasm. We are completely different, especially in the way that we communicate. We communicate totally differently. Now, if you don't believe me, you could do the test. I was here last time, Pastor Dan will attest to this, and I did the men's conference. It was awesome. It was powerful. But after a man's conference, go talk to a man. I mean, heaven could have come down to earth and ask that man, how was the conference? That man will tell you,
"It was good."
Like, how was it?
"It was awesome."
After Wonder Conference, go to a sister, go to a lady and ask her, "Girl, I heard about the conference. How was Wonder Conference?" She will say to you, "You know, before I even came to the conference, girl, let me tell you something. I'm telling you, I'm in a season of my life where I'm happy, but I'm sad too. You know what? 2013 was the roughest year." Did nobody ask you out here? It's different. We're different. Social scientists will tell you this, that guys, we use about 7,000 words a day. Ladies, you use like 20,000 words a day. We are completely different. And I now have biblical, scriptural evidence as to why this is so. This is going to bless somebody today. If you go to the book of Genesis, you'll remember that God created man from the very dirt of the earth. Don't get frustrated with any man you meet. He's just a dirt bag, okay? That's the Bible. He created him from the very dirt of the earth, breathed into him the breath of life. He became a living being. And you'll note, ladies, that before he gave Adam a wife, he first gave Adam a job. Before he got a wife, he got a job. I thought I was at a woman's conference. He got a J-O-B before he got a woman. Here's his job. His job is to name all of the animals in the animal kingdom that God created. God brings the animals he has to name. It's a lot of animals. So I can see Adam, you know, perusing through the garden, naming all these animals. That's a hawk right there. And it takes another step for, rah! Oh, my Mufasa, that is a lion. It takes another step for, rah, rah. Oh, that's my dog right there. He has the name. Oh, they know this takes a while. There's a lot of animals, and Adam is out here frolicking with these animals. And God looks down and sees Adam with the animals and then says to me one of the funniest statements in the book of Genesis. He sees Adam with the animals and goes, "Whew, it is not good for man to be alone. Need to help this brother out real quick." Come on, y'all super saved. You know the story. He puts Adam to sleep. He cuts him open. By the way, ladies, we had the first C-section. And he creates Eve. And watch this. Adam, who has been used to communicating by, now wakes up one morning to a beautiful woman who says, "Hello, how are you?" Adam's like, I mean, he doesn't even know what to say. And she's like, OMG, he cannot communicate. We need counseling. And I went through all that, ladies, basically to show you a biblical, profound principle that you were created in the context of conversation. You never had a season you were frolicking with animals. You woke up with somebody to talk to. There is power when a woman begins to conversate. No wonder when Jesus got up from the grave, the first people that recognized the Savior, it was not brothers. It was ladies who saw Jesus when he rose from the dead, because Jesus knew, if I really want to get the word out about my resurrection, no, brothers can't handle this. I need some sisters to let people know that I defeated death, hell, and the grave. I did what I came to do. Ooh, you want to get something started, you talk to a lady. So no wonder in John chapter 4, when Jesus wants to transform the city of Samaria, he says, "I'm going to sit down, have a conversation with a woman." Ooh, he wanted to change the city. So he said, "Let me sit down and talk to one woman." Oh, let me back it up, because the Bible says that Jesus is with his disciples and he says, "I need to go to Samaria. I need to go to Samaria." I could preach for 2 hours just on the phrase that he needed to go to Samaria. Because you understand, during that time period, Jews hated Samaritans. They could not stand Samaritans. You think times are crazy now. There was so much racial bias and prejudice and hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans that if they were going on a trip and Google Maps said go through Samaria, they would take the long route and skip Samaria. If they were eating some chicken and they found out a Samaritan cooked the chicken, they would spit the chicken out. Come on, that's some real hate when you will spit out chicken. This was serious. Hated Samaritans. Hated going through Samaria, but look at Jesus. The place and the people that nobody wanted to deal with, Jesus said, "No, I need to go there. There's somebody there I need to have an encounter with." I'm thankful for a Savior that'll go to the people that nobody wants to deal with, that'll go to the places, San Bernardino. He'll go anywhere. Oh, he says, "Y'all trying to skip it. I'm trying to get there." He gets to Samaria. When he gets to Samaria, he gets to a well, and he sits on the well. And he waits, not to talk to like 1,500 people. He sits on a well and he waits to talk to one woman. One woman. I think this warrants our attention, because I personally believe that Jesus was one of the busiest men that ever walked the face of this earth. Oh, come and think about this. In just 3 years of ministry with 12 crazy dudes, he preached the gospel in such a powerful way that the gospel he preached back then is still being declared around the world. Today, Jesus was a man on a mission. He did not have time to waste. He was busy, but in spite of his busy schedule, he just sits on a well and he waits to talk to one woman. Hear me, ladies. Do you know what I believe? I believe before we ever sang one song in this sanctuary today, before they ever set up one light or one balloon, that God's presence was sitting in this place going, "Whoo, it's almost time. Oh, it's almost time for Women Rock Conference. I got something that's going to change their life forever. See, church people will tell you how to seek after God, but they don't tell you how God will seek after you. Oh, when you're not even thinking about him, God is thinking about you. He just sat on this well and he waited. Ooh, you know, I don't like to wait. Jesus just sat there and waited. See, a lot of people praise God for his power. I praise God for his patience, because sometimes it takes me a while to get the hint and get the clue. So I'm thankful for a Savior who will just wait on you. Just waiting. Just waiting. Girl, hurry up. I got to go to the cross. You tripping. Come on. Waiting for this woman to get here. And she sits on the well and watch this. Jesus is waiting on her, but this woman comes to the well and sees Jesus sitting on the well. Jesus. And proceeds to casually take her water pot and start to fill it up with water. When Jesus is sitting on the well. Jesus is on that well. Okay. I don't know how you read the Bible. Here's how I read the Bible. When I read the Bible, I jump in the page of the Bible. I imagine what it would be like to be that particular individual. So if that's me, and I go to a well and I see Jesus sitting at a well, ladies, let me show you my reaction to seeing Jesus sitting at a well. OMG, OMU, OMU, I cannot believe this. You are incredible. Oh, I don't want to sound like a stalker, but I follow you on Instagram and Twitter and everything. Oh, my goodness, you are incredible. Oh, your hair looks that good in person. I'm telling you, last week, when you took the two fish and the five loaves and you multiplied it and made the first red lobster, oh, that fish was off the chain. You are incredible. I read your book. Would you sign this for me? It's gonna be my reaction. This is Jesus, the miracle worker. Oh, but not this woman. She sees Jesus, goes, get my water, because I got stuff to do. You laugh, but I'm a different church every weekend, and I see it happen all the time. People in the presence of Jesus. I think we just gathered here to have another cute conference. People in the presence of Jesus. Talking about, oh, how many songs they gonna sing. People in the presence of Jesus. Come on, when you get in the presence of God, that ain't time for you to play games. That ain't time for you to worry about your girlfriend's shoes. That ain't time for you to worry about what they said on Facebook. That's time for you to open up your mouth and lift up your hands and say, God, I know in this atmosphere you can do something that's gonna change my life forever. Oh, God, I'm believing for a miracle. Oh, she just ignores Jesus. But I love Jesus because he refused to be ignored. He engages her in conversation and says, excuse me, will you give me a drink? Now, real quick, I need every person to just kind of go like this. Whether you have glasses on or not, just go like this. Okay. Here's what I need you to do. I had you do that because I want you to take off any presupposition or spiritual lens through which you would see this passage of scripture. Because I'm gonna take this passage to a whole nother level, okay? I want you to see this text in a totally different light today. And I realize some of you, how many of you been raised in church? You just been raised in church. Yeah, you super saved. You've been saved since the third trimester of your mother's pregnancy. Yeah. You float in the room. You had communion for breakfast. So you're real saved, okay? So you've heard somebody preach on John chapter 4, but I want you to take off any presupposition you would bring to this passage, because I want you to see this passage from a totally different perspective today, okay? And in order to do that, we have to put our feet in the psychological shoes of this woman, because the Bible tells us that she has had not one, not two, not three, not four, five husbands, and she is currently living with somebody who is not her husband. Five, come on, some of y'all trying to get one, five? Five husbands, and watch this, is currently living with somebody who is not her husband. And the Bible just gives us this information. Ladies, have you noticed how the Bible reads like TMZ sometimes? Like we forget that these are real people. people, and God just chose to put all that information on blast in the best-selling book of all time. Just put all that information on blast. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit was the final editor of the Bible and put people's real issues in there, because church people today will have you confused. Church people today act like they in the witness protection program. Oh yeah, we don't want to tell our real testimony. We dress it up. But I'm so thankful for God putting the real story, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So I always laugh at people who are like, oh, God can't use me. I got a lot of issues. Have you read your Bible? God must be teaching us something, and if he can use crazy, messed up, dysfunctional people like that, surely he can use you. Come on, there is nothing that you've done that God's grace can't reach you where you are. Ooh, five husbands living with somebody who's not a husband, just put that on blast and let everybody know that. And here's my thinking. If you got five husbands, you're not ugly. Come on, sister girl's got it going on. Hair done, nails done, she fancy. And she comes to a well. Comes to the well and she sees a man sitting at the well, a man sitting at the well. You have to understand historical context of the text. During that time period, men did not come to the well. The well was a social gathering place for the ladies, which is interesting why she came at 12 o'clock, because usually the ladies would gather in the morning. You don't come in the middle of the day. That's where the heat is. But she purposefully wanted to isolate herself and said, I don't got time to fool with them ladies in the morning. Let me just be by myself. You know, you'll do that after a while. Sometimes you're so sick of relationships that you just want to be by yourself and isolate yourself. And that's where the enemy will attack you, when you are in isolation. You would be shocked at the woman who wanted to come to this conference today, but said, no, I don't want to fool with anybody else. So she chose to stay at home, and the enemy is playing games with your mind, because whenever you isolate yourself, that isolation is the breeding ground of the enemy to bring all kinds of destruction in her life. So she came in the middle of the day and she sees a man at the well, and men don't come to the well. So she's like, oh my goodness. What is this man doing at the well? Why he keeps staring at me? Look, I don't know what he's looking at. I just came to get my water and go. I don't know what he's staring at. Look, I done already had five husbands. The one I'm with right now, he all right. I just want to get my water and go. What is he looking at? And if you put your feet in the psychological shoes of this woman, you see it is possible and plausible that she thought that Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was looking for an opportunity to hit on her. Like in her mind, she thinks Jesus wants her phone number. And Jesus makes it worse, because his opening statement, the first thing he says is, excuse me, will you give me a drink? So she immediately responds. She said, look, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. You know, we don't have any dealings with each other. And then Jesus makes it worse. Woo. He says, girl, if you knew who I was, I'm just saying, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me, I'd give you some living water, you know what I'm saying? Like living water. What, you greater than our father Jacob? Please, you ain't even got a rope or a bucket. Talk to the hand. Talk to the hand. I'm still in the Bible. Don't throw no stones at me. Told you, you're going to see it from a different perspective. And this woman actually illustrates something for us, hear me ladies, that will always stop you from receiving what God has for you. And that is this. This woman has allowed her perspective, how she sees things, to be polluted by her past experiences. Her perspective has become polluted by her past experiences. She thought that Jesus, the seventh man she was meeting, was exactly like the six men she'd encountered before. But how many know Jesus wasn't trying to get something from her? He was trying to get something to her that was gonna change her life forever. but she was going to miss out on a God moment because her perspective had been polluted by her past experiences. Wait a minute, the seventh man. She had five husbands living with somebody. That makes Jesus the seventh man. Come on, if you know anything about biblical numerology, you do know that seven is the number of completion. Seven is the number of perfection. So just by sitting there, Jesus was saying, guess what? I know the six before me came to deplete you, but baby girl, I came to complete you. I came to give you the thing that your heart's been longing for. But she was going to miss out on a God moment because her perspective had become polluted by her past experiences. Do you know what I'm praying for you this day, today, at this conference? That God would open up your eyes so you can see him for the way that he truly is, so you can see yourself for the way that you truly are, because perspective is everything. Oh, I'm telling you, it is not about what you're going through, what you're facing. It is about how you see what you're going through and what you're facing. Perspective is everything. And most of us in life drag the pain of our past into the perspective of our present. And it always stops you from receiving what God has for you. Now, I'll be honest with you. This is why when I'm on the plane, I don't like to tell people I'm a preacher. I know that don't sound spiritual, but like when I'm on the plane and we begin the conversation, I'd rather tell them I'm in the oil business. Anointing, or never mind. Because sometimes if I begin the conversation by saying I'm a preacher, it can go one or two ways. All of a sudden, if I say I'm a preacher, they start getting real fake and real phony, and the whole flight before they were cussing. And now that I'm a preacher, they're like, oh, well, glory to God, brother. God is good all the time. Yes, he is. I was just reading the book of Psalms yesterday. Yes, I've been watching Seventh Heaven on Netflix. Like, bro, come on. The other extremity is I say I'm a preacher. Sometimes they go, oh, you're a preacher? Let me tell you about the church. And the head starts spinning around like the Exorcist. I got to hear about every church that did them wrong, any pastor that was in the news. And do you know what I'm thinking the whole time they're going off on me, besides you crazy? Thinking, man, this person will never know who I truly am because their perspective has become polluted by their past experiences. If that's true about me, a finite being, how much more about a God who is so multidimensional, so multifaceted? Could it be possible there's something from God you're missing out on because your perspective has become polluted by your past experiences? Hear me. God wants to open up your eyes today to see him for the way that he truly is. I got to hurry, but you got to understand, perspective is so important because perspective is synonymous with capacity. Say a more tweetable way. You cannot receive what you cannot perceive. You cannot receive what you cannot perceive. Anything you're going to receive from God, you first have to see it. But if you don't see it, you will never receive it. You don't believe me? How can two people be in the same service and have two totally different experiences? You ever been there before in a service and one person walking out, tears going this way, snot going the other way, all her Mary Kay and Mac makeup is jacked up, look like a hurricane hit her face, and she's talking about, girl, I would never be the same again. And in the same service, another girl was, I said, girl, did you see what I just saw on Shade Room or Instagram right now? Let's just go and go to Cracker Barrel for lunch. In the same service, what happened? Perspective. You cannot receive what you cannot perceive. This liberated me as a preacher because I used to think that the effectiveness of ministry had to do with my ability to articulate the word of God and dig down deep into the archaeological value of a biblical pericope, and the worship team had to be just right, but oh no! It's your ability to receive and see what God can do in your life. Oh, I gotta hurry. You can limit God with your perspective. Think about that. You can limit God with your perspective.
Give us some scripture for that, Robert.
I'll give you scripture. Remember Mark chapter 6? Read it when you get home. Remember Mark chapter 6? Jesus comes to a certain town, and the Bible says something that when I read it, I almost passed out. It said he could do no mighty work except heal a few sick people. Jesus could do no mighty work except heal a few sick people. Ladies, that scripture don't even make sense. Jesus could do no mighty work. How many know all our God does is mighty works? How can he do no mighty work? That's why we praise him. We don't praise him because he's 9 out of 10. We praise him because he does mighty works, because he can never fail. You ain't never, ever in your life heard a praise and worship song that goes like this. Our God is okay. Our God is all right. He can do some stuff on some days. He's average. That would be the dumbest praise and worship song ever written. It's not what we say. Come on, what do we say? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are. Well, sounds better when you sing it. That's what we sing. How can he do no mighty work? Oh, the Bible tells us what town he went to. His hometown. Town he grew up in. So he came to reveal himself as the Son of God. And they were in the back talking about, Son of God, please. Son of Mary and Joseph. Remember, you were building those dumb birdhouses in your dad's carpentry shop. You ain't no son of God. Don't act brand new. You ain't no son of God. And couldn't receive from him because they couldn't see it. Allow the Holy Spirit today to open up your eyes to see Jesus for who he truly is, so you can see yourself for who you truly are. Perspective is everything. Some of you right now, and I'm landing the plane. Somebody come play softly because I got like 2 seconds. But watch this. Some of you right now don't have joy because you got the wrong perspective. There's a single lady in here going, I'm so sick of being by myself. You don't know what it's like every night having to hold myself, every night having to watch The Notebook on Netflix by myself. I'm so sick of being alone. Sitting right next to another single woman who has another perspective saying, "Woo, thank God, I ain't got no relationship drama. Woo, when I want to go out, I can make the decision to go out. I ain't got to deal with, oh, life is good. God been speaking to me." Perspective. You cannot receive what you cannot perceive. Something like, how in the world can all this be coming against me? I've been trying to do this and raise my child and do all that, but you've been complaining without even looking at your perspective. Change your perspective. Have you noticed you still standing? You still here? You still making it? God's still with you. This woman had the wrong perspective. If she had the right perspective, watch this. She should not have been shocked that Jesus was talking to her, a Samaritan woman. That's what she was shocked about. She should have been shocked that Jesus began this conversation by asking her for water. How many know Jesus did not need this woman to give him water? If she knew who he was, if she had the right perspective, he didn't need her to give him water. I told you, he is God in flesh, the same God who spoke the world into existence. That means if Jesus really needed some water, he could have sat on that well and said, "Let there be water." And Fiji and Aquafina bottles would have started coming up out the ground. Need this woman to give him water? Why does he ask her for water then? Because Jesus, the great teacher, the compassionate Savior, he's using water, natural water, as an illustration to show this woman, your soul has become so dry. And you've been running from man to man, from relationship to relationship, trying to quench a spiritual thirst with something in the natural. And how many know it doesn't work? You cannot quench a spiritual thirst with something in the natural. So thank God for Jesus, who does an intervention as the seventh man and say, "Sweetheart, let me stop you before you get to man number 777. And realize they can't give you the thing your soul has been looking for. Your soul is dry. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, "If I find in myself desires that nothing in this present world can satisfy, there is only one probable explanation. I was made for another world." Ooh, I'm trying to tell you that all of us are thirsty. That's a part of being human. Everybody's thirsty. The question is not, are you thirsty? The question is, how are you gonna fulfill and quench that thirst? I think even today, Jesus is saying to somebody whose soul has been so dry, come to me. Come to me, the fountain of living water. I'll satisfy. I love this, because on this stage, we got a glass of water, and it's not regular water, it is living water. We got this in from Israel earlier. Yeah, this is living water now. And you have to decide how you're going to perceive that water in order to receive from it. Jesus says, I'm the living water. There's some people, the way they approach and perceive the living water is they think that water doesn't exist, that there's nothing that can satisfy your soul. There's some ladies who think you have lost your mind, that you would be at church on a Saturday, girl, with all you got to do, you wasting your time. And I always want to tell those people, come taste and see that this water is real. This water will satisfy your soul. There's some people that doubt that water can satisfy. There's some people who, you've been in church so long, you know all about the water. You've been to water Sunday school. You know scriptures on water. You know it's primarily composed of two atoms of hydrogen, one atom of oxygen. You know all about the water. Oh, but how many know there's a difference between knowing about the water and actually receiving the living water? Oh, come on. This is the greatest day of your life, the day you receive the living water. Come on. Some ladies did it today in that first session who made a decision, who said, I'm going to give Jesus everything. I got a personal relationship with the living water. Come on. Is there anybody in here that knows that this is your real birthday, the day you receive the living water and you got a personal, real relationship with Jesus? Oh, but how many know you don't stop here? You don't stop here because I can still die of thirst even though this water is in my hand. Some people, religious people in church, they think it's their job to judge who needs water. Have you met that sister? Girl, you see the skirt she had on at this conference? She needs water. Yes, I saw what she posted on Facebook. She needs water. Think it's their job to judge who needs water. That'll keep you thirsty too. There's some ladies, I saw it even in here today. Some of you, you get so close in this atmosphere. You get so close and you're watching other people receive the living water. You get so close, but fear or doubt or guilt or condemnation stops you from really receiving. But can I tell you, if you want to be the woman of God that He's called you to be, if you want to step into your purpose, step into your destiny, come on, you can't just know about the water. You can't doubt the water. You can't watch other people drink the water. You got to make a decision in your life to say, you know what? I'm going to finally come to the living water and I'm going to, excuse me. Oh, come on, ladies. He said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. That's why you're at Wonder Conference. Not so we can just sing about it. You got to make a decision to say, I'm going to receive everything God has for me. I'm going to take it in. Oh, come on, somebody, if you came to receive today, would you give God some praise? Like, you know, He's got everything you need. Oh, come on, that's the best praise you got. Where are the women in the house that said, I came to drink my healing? I came to drink in my breakthrough. I came to drink in everything God has for me. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of you in here today, you say, Robert, I've been to the conference. I've done that before, and I've taken it in, but my soul still feels dry. I got something for you. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said you still feel dry. You said, I've been to the conference, got the t-shirt. I've been coming to Wonder Conference for 20 years. I don't know if there's nothing else God has for me. I came to tell you that God has so much more in store for you. Things that your eyes have not seen and your ears have not heard. Come on, don't act like you knew that was back there. You have no idea what God has in store, and when your soul is dry, you need to seek the supply and say, God, I know you got so much more, so I'm ready to receive everything. I gathered you here on this Saturday not to just watch other people drink, not to just hear cute sermons about the living water, but for you to receive today. Come on, would you lift up your hands all over this place and just begin to give your own worship to your Savior? Come on, if you're thirsty, just begin to open up your mouth and cry out to your God. Some of you, your soul has been so dry. And God said, that's why you had to be here today. I am pouring out every single thing you need, but you got to be ready to receive it. He wants to change your perception. Quit saying, no, that's not for me. No, there's not a better life. This is all I have. No, you can be everything God has called you to be. You can receive everything He has for you today. Spirit of the living God, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can admit when we're thirsty. We can come to you, God, and say that our souls are dry. Father, I thank you that you're so faithful to pour out rivers of living water so we can drink in and receive from you today. Father, I pray you would do it for every sister in this place today. Do not let us leave here dragging in the pain of our past into the perspective of our present, but open up our eyes to see your beauty, your majesty, your sufficiency. And Lord, as long as we have you, we've got every single thing that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.